Are you troubled by strange hockey trades in the middle of the night?
Do you experience feelings of dread about NHL free agency?
Have you or your family ever seen a New York Islanders game?
If the answer is yes, then don't wait another minute. Pick up your mobile device and subscribe to Lighthouse Hockey Podcast from SB Nation today.
Our courteous and efficient hosts are ready to serve all of your Islander needs and worries.
Lighthouse Hockey Podcasts for New York Islanders fans.
Everybody, welcome back to From Complex to Queens, Amazing Avenue's Modern League Podcast. I'm Steve Seipa, and I'm joined by Lucas Vlahos, Ken Lavin, and Thomas Henderson once again this week. How are you guys doing?
All right.
Doing well. All right. Let's start with Promote Extend Trade, and I am happy to say that the Final Fantasy VII Remake is out. And Final Fantasy VII.
Steve, you're finally going to do a video game one, and you're going to do a video game I'm not familiar with.
Well,
why do you do this to me, Steve?
Not really. It's not really a video game. Not really Final Fantasy VII specific as much as just the concept of sequels.
Okay.
And franchises with like sequels that don't really have too much continuity. Because with Final Fantasy games, you know, there's 15 plus, and there's not really much continuity between them. So of these franchises that have that same kind of model, independent stories with very limited continuity between them, what are we going to promote, extend, or trade of these series? First, we have James Bond. Then there's Indiana Jones. And finally, Godzilla.
Oh, well, easily I'm extending Godzilla forever because I'm the biggest Godzilla junkie on the planet.
Really? Okay.
I grew up watching those terrible old Godzilla movies on VHS every weekend. So, extending Godzilla, I don't have a strong take on Bond versus Indiana Jones, honestly. Like, objectively, there are two good Indiana Jones movies, and the rest suck.
You bite your tongue.
Wait, what? All right, Raiders of the Lost Ark is great.
Temple's kind of meh.
Temple sucks.
Last Crusade is pretty... Yeah, but 2 out of 4 ain't bad.
Point being, there are more good Bond movies than Indiana Jones movies, so I'm trading Jones and promoting Bonds. James Bond.
I've seen maybe one Godzilla movie, so I'm gonna offend your sensibilities and trade Godzilla.
I hope it was the 1998 American one.
Matthew Broderick, right? And the fat guy who kind of looks like Eric Mangini but isn't. I already forgot.
So I'm going to extend Indiana Jones and promote Bonds. Bond.
I'd probably extend Godzilla. I think you're right about there being more good Bond movies than there are good Indiana Jones movies, but the good Indiana Jones movies I like a lot, so I'm torn.
Raiders might be the best movie out of any of these that we're talking about.
Which, Lost Ark, you're saying?
Yeah, Raiders of the Lost Ark. The best movie out of any of the franchises we're discussing.
I think multiple Bond movies are far superior to Lost Ark. Like, Lost Ark is a good movie, but Indiana Jones has no effect on the story. Like, seriously, take Indiana out of that story, what happens? The Germans still find the Ark, they still go to this random death island.
He kills a lot of Nazis!
They open the Ark and they all die anyway, which is exactly what happened even with him there.
He took out like an entire unit of Nazis.
But they would have just died when they opened the Ark.
Not all of them. Mm. Through the movie.
Has James Bond survived a nuclear blast?
In a refrigerator? Not sure about that one.
I'm going to go ahead and say no.
That's an important question to answer before we can.
I mean,
really
Godzilla wins the nuclear question because he's literally powered by nuclear energy.
True.
So,
just more reasons to extend Godzilla, to be honest with you.
We could have done a whole promote extend trade solely about Godzilla villains.
There's like, a lot of them.
Like, which Godzilla monsters are you promoting, extending, or trading aside from Godzilla himself?
Always go with Mechagodzilla. That's my policy.
King Ghidorah.
All right. I don't know. I'm extending Indiana Jones because I just like the Indiana Jones franchise and the stories more than the others. But it was a tough one between Bond and Godzilla. And I traded Bond because really, you know, Godzilla is Godzilla at the end of the day. You don't want to get on his bad side, obviously.
Apparently he's a Japanese citizen now, too.
Oh, that's good. I hope he's doing well. So the season was supposed to start on Thursday. Syracuse was going to be playing the Pawtucket Red Sox, and the Rumble Ponies were going to be playing the Akron Rubber Ducks, and the St. Lucie Mets were going to be playing the team in Fort Myers, formerly known as Miracle, but now they are the Mighty Muscles. And the five.
Query. Is that muscles as in the bodybuilder muscles or muscles as in the shellfish?
It is the shellfish, but
yes!
The logo, of course, reflects the punny nature of the name, and it is a muscle who is very strong.
I love my big team so much.
My favorite thing about the minor leagues.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to talk about them, like, seriously. Like, oh, yeah, the Mighty Muscles might be really good this year. So, like, like you have – it's the best.
I really appreciate the minor league teams that know they're around as a joke, basically, and lean into it with the funny names.
I agree.
That is part of the beauty of the minors.
They also give us things like, I really want to buy a Flying Chunklas hat, a San Antonio Flying Chunklas hat.
Right, yeah.
And of course, they were not the only team to like rebrand with an outlandish name. Canapolis, the Intimidators, that are now the Cannonballers. Wichita, they have the Wind Surge, which is a Pegasus. The Mighty Muscles, of course. I feel like there's a, oh, Norwich, the Sea Unicorns, of course. can't not mention
so
that.
So a narwhal?
Yes, a baseball narwhal.
Sea Unicorn, I feel like there's a word for that exists already.
But yeah, those are, also the Fireflies are going to be playing the Green Jackets, and those were some Grade A team makeovers, and obviously none of that really matters now because the season is not starting on time, and who knows if there's even going to be a 2020 season. And before all the coronavirus stuff, this year was like a really shitty year for me, and I was looking forward so much to the season, and now there's not even going to be a season most likely, and it's just a really crappy situation that we find ourselves in.
Yeah, it's a bummer.
Obviously, you know, it was only the four full season teams. Come June, when the short season teams have started, and maybe things will be different, and maybe they'll be able to play on time. Who knows? Probably not, but you never know. But even though the seasons are not going to be happening as predicted, as planned. It's a situation we're not happy about because we're looking forward to these teams, and not all of them were probably going to be very good, but it's still kind of, you know, unfortunate that we're not going to be able to see these teams playing. For Syracuse, I can't really say that I was looking at, that I was going to be excited too much about their season. Last year, the inaugural year, they did pretty well in the standings, but the team wasn't like fun. You know, AAA teams are usually kind of a fusion of prospects and career minor league guys and veterans looking to kind of get back into baseball. But the team last year was really skewed towards like career minor league guys and veterans. Off the top of your head, who were the two prospects, and I use that term pretty loosely, that were on the Syracuse team? From our top 25 prospect list.
You mean the list for this year?
Oh, excuse me, for the 2019 season. Who were the two that were on our list that began the year with Syracuse?
Began the year with Syracuse? Harold didn't begin the year there.
I barely even remember their opening day roster as it is.
Thinking through it.
The list open.
That's not so. Jimenez was still in Double A.
Did Guillorme go north with the team?
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Alonso went north. Peterson was in Double A.
Hanhold?
Yes, Eric Hanhold is one.
Yeah.
Daniel Zamora?
Yep, those are the two.
Nice.
Exciting.
Those are the top prospects. Yep.
Catch the fever.
Yeah. It wasn't going to be much better this year.
No.
Jimenez, probably.
There was going to be a few more prospect guys. Harold, Peterson,
Kevin
Jimenez, Smith probably, Gonsalves. Most of the team is still going to be those kind of...
Sanchez, yeah.
Those veteran guys. And I think the ones that they had last year were at least better, so that the team would have, you know, they did end the year in standings pretty well. They had, you know, Gregor Blanco, Rajai Davis, Danny Espinosa. You know,
would you like to recount that game for us?
Which?
The game that Syracuse's season ended on.
Oh, it was not of great. That they had.
It was not great. A
7-run lead, like twice or something to that effect, and they blew it. And it was like 14-13. Not optimal. Not what you like to see.
Not great, Bob.
It's not what you want.
No. But I think the quality of those guys on the team last year was better than the quality of the guys that were probably going to be on the roster this year. So, you know, without saying Syracuse is probably going to be bad, I wasn't really thinking that too much is going to be going on this year.
It was going to be a lot of paying attention to who maybe will get called up, and that's never really exciting. Like in a pinch, those type of guys.
That is kind of the role of AAA, though. Usually, AA is the team where there's more going on. And last year, kind of the same thing.
I mean, it's literally the guys we're talking about at AAA now, but in AA. Anthony Kay, I guess.
It's definitely more of an indictment on the Mets' ability to like draft quality guys that continue grinding up the system as opposed to just kind of washing out. But you know, the Binghamton team the last couple of years has kind of been like one or two really guys that are good, and then lots of garbage. No offense to those players, of course, but you know, last year was basically Jimenez and Peterson for most of the year, and that was it. 2018 was basically Peter Alonso, McNeil, and Dunn, and that was it. 2017, like, Corey Oswalt had that really good year on paper, and Chris Flexen was good when he was there, and that was it. 2016, it was Dom and Ahmed and Gazelman when he was there, but that was it. And that really is the story of Binghamton going back quite a while now. And that is just basically because of how the Mets are drafting.
Yeah.
Optimally, you have minor league guys and then the occasional, you know, veteran that's signed and sent to Double A that are better than what the Mets have had. And unfortunately, the Mets have not been able to really do that. I think the season, at least in theory, there might have been a few more guys that could have had solid seasons, but I mean, there really was, it's not like, you know, there was really anybody great projected to be in Binghamton for this season.
Yeah, it's all about the lower minors for the Mets right now.
Like, yep. There is probably, like, an outcome for Mauricio where he hits the ground running and in the FSL and hits his way to bingo fairly early, but not a particularly likely outcome.
But I thought MLB The Show had Matthew Allen in Double A.
That's true.
You're telling me the video game is inaccurate?
Unfortunately.
Damn.
Shots fired.
Let's see. St. Lucie, normally they're a bummer. They were bad last year, bad in 2018, bad in 2017. Last time they ended the season with a record above 500 was 2016, so we're going back quite a bit. Assuming, though, that everybody from Columbia was going to get promoted to St. Lucie, you know, it could have gone two ways. Either, you know, Mauricio and Vientos and Trevian Newton, you know, either they would have hit their stride and done well, or they would have been overmatched and kind of treaded water like they did in Columbia. So basically St. Lucie of the 2020 season is the Columbia Fireflies of the 2019 season.
At least they still got the glow-in-the-dark. Do they have those glow-in-the-dark hats still?
Yes, they do.
Those hats are dope.
They are. And then Columbia, like last year, they probably were going to be the team to follow because, you know, as I mentioned, you know, the Mets assigned a bunch of their top prospects to the Fireflies aggressively. Mauricio Vientos, Newton, Simeon Woods Richardson. And assuming that the Mets were going to be just as aggressive with some of the guys that were in Kingsport last year, 2020 Cola Flies could have had Francisco Alvarez, Brett Beatty, Jalen Palmer, Junior Santos, which is basically just like that group that they had in 2019. But just like that group of guys that they had in 2019, they could have been, you know, very talented guys that were just still too young and overmatched. Maybe they'd sink, maybe they'd swim. I mean, we don't really know now because the season's not taking place, but it would have, they would have been the team to follow again.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Of our top 10, no, I guess I'm going through our top 10 now. Even most of the top 10 might be lower than that, right? Or a good chunk of them.
Let's see, let me get that up here. Well, number one prospect, Mauricio, I say would probably be going to St. Lucie.
Yeah, that's fair.
Jimenez probably would be going to
Syracuse.
Triple A, Syracuse.
Yep.
I forgot about Allen. He would probably be going to Columbia, I would say.
You think they're going to shove him in Columbia?
Yeah. He already pitched, I mean, it was limited innings, but he already pitched in the New York Penn League, and he was good in the New York Penn League, so I don't see the point of having him, if the season was, you know, actually starting, I wouldn't see the point of having him sit back and wait 2 months in the complex before the season started, and then just go right back to doing what he was doing against
the Dodgers. Might have him do, like, weird three-inning starts or something, just so he doesn't pitch too many innings.
He's probably the same plan as Simeon Woods Richardson.
Yeah.
Probably like a slow up.
Beatty would have gone to Columbia. Vientos would have gone to St. Lucie. Mm-hmm. Alvarez would have gone to Columbia. Peterson, AAA. Sapucki.
AAA.
AAA, I would think as well.
Yeah.
Killing me, AAA.
Yep. Newton, St. Lucie. And that's the top 10.
I thought we had Canseco and Hernandez higher, but that was just me. So they're going to be, them and Valdez and Santos should be lower. And I guess Jalen Palmer too, probably.
I would put Palmer up Columbia. I would
really?
I would bring him up. I would bring Santos up as well. But also, I guess it depends on how they performed in spring training and then how they performed, you know, in front of Mets evaluators.
I'd be a little bit worried about that 40% strikeout rate with Palmer, because I think that has real flame out potential if you push him too fast.
Definitely. Definitely agree.
He's somebody I definitely would put in Brooklyn for a year.
Mm. Yeah.
Basically, I think they went a little too aggressively with Newton.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking the same.
And I think they're very similar type players.
They are.
Santos, I also, like, I don't know what to make of Santos. I know I think I'm the low guy on him here. And I know the stats don't mean anything, but when you're walking 5.5 dudes per nine, I'm less inclined to promote you aggressively.
Yeah, I'd probably send him to Brooklyn. He's also so young.
He's 18 and a half right now. So
I think Brooklyn's perfectly reasonable for him.
I also think that's the kind of thing that extended spring can help you work on, honestly, because, well, I don't know. Maybe extended spring is just totally useless, but at least theoretically of the issues a prospect has, I feel like working on making your mechanics a little bit more repeatable or your control in general, that's something you can work on in a bullpen. Like, you don't need to be facing live competition for that.
Yeah, and that brings up a point. I wasn't really going to get into it too much, but just the lack of active games. Like you mentioned, there are some things that some guys can work on, but I mean, assuming everything comes back to normal and there's a 2021 season, it's gonna suck for some guys to really have missed an entire year of player development.
Yeah.
Most notably, I started writing about it, but most notably Beatty. I mean, assuming the season is a wash completely, there's no games whatsoever, he'll be coming into the 2021 season as a 21-year-old with, like, no real, you know, experience above rookie ball, which is
that's
not great.
He's putting the ball behind that point.
Yeah, that's where the situation with the age being on the older side is going to come back. And
I think it's also important
in this space.
You can think about the type of player he is, right? Like, what are the skills you can work on off the field? You can work on your conditioning, your strength. If you're a pitcher, you can probably work on a lot of things off the field. Like, you can go in a bullpen and tinker with your pitches or work on your mechanics. Hitters, it's going to be harder because you need live pitching, honestly. But as a hitter, like, let's say you were someone who's, like, rake thin and needs to add strength, or someone who just needs to get in better shape, well, then you could be improving right now. Beatty's not that. He's, like, fully physically developed. He needs to work on his hitting skills. He needs live pitching. I don't know that there's and he's old, so I don't know that there's a worse profile for a pandemic, honestly.
Worse pandemic profile.
Not a comment I thought I'd be making 2 months ago. Or when they drafted him. Suboptimal print pandemic profile.
Mm. See, these are the things that, you know, evaluators should be looking out for when.
Real big part of the prospect evaluation process.
Honestly, I think there's just going to be a lot of noise in general, though.
Oh, absolutely. It's good. The next full season is going to be a disaster.
Like, I don't know if it's any worse for Batty than it is for anybody else who's, you know. I think we're going to have huge swings everywhere.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean,
evaluation's going to be wild over the next.
Like, yeah, Batty's a little bit behind the curve, but who knows what prep he's doing? Who knows what prep other people are doing? It's just going to be wild to see.
See, I think there's at least a theoretical argument, though. All right, so Beatty is old and already physically maxed. So what is he actually doing without games? Then you have Mauricio, who's young, but needs to add a lot of strength. So he could just say, well, I can't play baseball, So I'm just going to go lift weights every day, and he comes back and he's boosted his power by a grade or a grade and a half.
Yeah. Right?
Like, that's something I could see happening.
Yeah, but what?
Yeah, I mean, it's the Mets, so I never expect a good outcome to happen.
So, honestly, there's, like, how much influence can the Mets have if guys aren't in their complex?
Right, that's a very fair point.
They could give suggestions, I'm sure, but after that.
But after that, it's up to where are these guys and what are they doing, you know?
You would hope that a smart organization or baseball as a whole would have a system set up or would be have put together some sort of infrastructure to help these guys and, like, get them video time with trainers, get them programs to work on, get them dietary programs, what have you. But as we've discussed ad nauseum, they're not very good at this.
Yeah. They're probably not very well equipped to handle something like this, as opposed to a team like the Dodgers.
Fred Wilpon's figuring out Zoom right now.
He is definitely getting hacked.
They don't have passwords on their Zoom call.
Nope.
Oops.
So the guy I'm, like, relatively excited to see come back after all of this is Jimenez.
Why is that?
Pretty much solely because every day he's on Instagram showing his workouts. He looks like he's in the best shape of his life.
All right, Andres Jimenez Instagram. Yeah. Hold it up.
It's literally every day.
Like, he's going to come back a legit 30-run home run threat now.
This is the wrong Andres Jimenez. Oops.
He's got 10K followers. He should pull up pretty easily.
This guy's got 37K followers.
Oh, wow.
Huh.
Okay, this one looks more correct. Oh, yeah. Dude's getting jacked. Some sort of weird flamingo-style barbell exercise going on here. I'm sure that does something.
And we've seen him come back from, a winter at least, in significantly better shape than he was going into the winter, at least once before. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
He definitely works very hard.
If somebody's going to use the time effectively in some facet, he's somebody I'm confident in to do that.
Yeah, I could absolutely buy that.
Who else or what else are you guys looking forward to once baseball starts?
So, I mean, my takes on Bauer are known. I know that he's a bit of a jackass, but he does some cool pitch design stuff. I'm wondering if anyone else is, like, in one of those labs fiddling with their pitches right now. That seems like an ideal thing you could try without violating too many social distancing rules. Like, you could just go in there and start fiddling with, all right, well, what if I throw the ball this way instead? So I want to see if anyone comes back with, like, a new pitch.
I mean, you'd have to be lucky enough to be at one of those facilities.
No, of course. Like, and that's something that I wish the organization would be like, hey, you want to go, we'll hook you up with these guys. You want to go do this? And that's something they could set up. But again, probably not doing that.
I would hope that these players use the time effectively as it pertains to their careers.
I'm a little worried about pitchers coming back and like if they do have a abbreviated season, trying to ramp up and having more injuries happen. That's one thing I was thinking about with pitchers.
That's fair.
If sure, guys are probably throwing bullpens and stuff, but to throw game level situations and maybe guys aren't throwing as much as they should or much as they could, or they threw too much in quarantine. You never know. Like, because pitching is pitcher's break regardless. But, yeah, I'm a little worried about an uptick in injuries from that regard, just from pitchers being like, oh, it's, like, best-case scenario, it's, like, May or June or July or August or sometime in the summer, and they're like, oh, you got to throw 100 pitches now, you know? And if they're not ready for it, I'm worried about guys getting hurt and stuff.
It'll be interesting to see, like, over next winter, all of the winter leagues in Dominican Republic and Puerto Rico, and to see how major league organizations will try to take advantage of that in terms of, you know, sending their minor league guys.
They're going to start sending their stars.
Yeah, that's something that you usually don't see, but...
Mike Trout going to DR to play baseball?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, what's Mike Trout going to randomly come back better at this time around?
He's going to be a two-way player.
He looked at Ohtani and was like, that looks like fun.
Yeah, and he's going to be the best pitcher in the league.
God damn it.
He's going to go 25-5 all complete games or something silly. He's just going to be like, yeah, I was bored.
No, hitting is just too easy.
That or he becomes a catcher or something. He's just like, I didn't want to play the outfield anymore.
Ooh, that's an interesting one.
He's like calculating the value of his bat behind the plate rather than center field. And he's like, yeah, I'd actually be better for the Angels here. And they still don't make the playoffs because they're the Angels.
Yes, they're the Angels.
Poor Angels.
Poor Mike. Screw the Angels. Poor Mike
Trout.
Poor
Mike Trout.
true. Well, I don't know. They have a pretty good team. We were talking about that a few weeks ago. Much better than I realized, especially with Rendon now.
They can hit.
They still can't pitch, though.
Yeah.
Right. Well, Ohtani would be back on the mound, presumably.
Yeah.
I mean, once every 5 days, at least you got someone.
Their position player group is really exciting. I don't know. I think I'm most disappointed about not getting to see Allen. Because I think he was probably the guy we were most excited to see. Or at least I was. Definitely up there, given the intrigue around the draft selection, so.
And he's a dude who could be, like, a national prospect if he pops off, too. Which would be nice, just to have one, really. Like, it's fun to be in those conversations, to have those dudes who are really good and the whole league knows it, rather than really good and, like, or, like, they're good and just the Mets fans know it because they're, like, a niche good.
Right.
I mean, if they had strong seasons, I think you could make the case that Mauricio, Allen, and Alvarez could all pop up somewhere in the middle of like a top 100 national list with a good season next year.
Sure. I mean, Allen, I think had real blow. Allen and Mauricio had real blow up potential. Like there is a world where they just light the world on fire, or did light the or. It really popped off in 2020 and were top 30 or 20 type prospects.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Obviously, the draft not taking place or not taking place as business as usual is kind of crappy.
Did that 5-round proposal go through already?
It did, but there's so much variance in it that like MLB reserves the right to increase the length of it. They didn't say how long. They didn't say when they can declare they want to increase the length of it. So, I mean, it's still a lot is up in the air.
But, so they just said we can do what we want.
Yeah, basically. And the players union, they have no skin in the game. So they're like, yeah, sure.
Yeah, they're past that all by now, so.
And, you know, it's kind of, I mean, the draft is always fun. And obviously you get some of the best players in the first couple of rounds. But all those, like, you know, late round sleeper guys, that's some of the fun that comes out of the draft.
Absolutely.
The Mike Piazzas that are drafted in round 62, whatever.
Albert Pujols.
Mm-hmm. And then obviously just the fact that, you know, going to games, that's gonna definitely miss that. Who doesn't like going to games?
Yeah. Or even having them on. Like.
Yeah, yeah.
It was, especially with baseball, and I'm a hockey fan, so that's on almost every day. And like, to have the sports on, like, there's a baseball game on at 7 almost every night. Then when there isn't, it's like, oh wow. Like you kind of take it for granted because it's always been there for as long as you can remember. And for the foreseeable future, it's not, so it's so weird.
Yeah, that is definitely not just minor league games, but in general, just, you know, one of the things that I've always appreciated about baseball is it's always on, you know, from spring to fall, basically every single night, basically every single day at you know, 7 o'clock, and you know, nothing else is on, put on the bowl game. It's something you're watching, it's a commercial, put on the bowl game. There's always, like you said, there's always baseball to put on and have. Definitely sucks to not have that.
So I definitely didn't watch as much baseball anymore, but I was still very, very involved on the fantasy side. So that's the weirdest part for me, is like not having a lineup to set.
Mm-hmm.
Or like I wake up and I open up Yahoo and I'm like, oh, wait.
You just open it up and sigh.
Yeah, I wake up and I look at my lineup and I'm like, oh, right. Damn it. Close it.
And fantasy is fun because every year you get your guys who, like, you pick up some dude on waivers and he goes off, and, like, you won't have that this year. Like, I like Eric Thames because I had him in 2017.
Yeah, exactly.
He came back and he was super good for no reason. And it's, like, I kind of miss having those weird connections with players that aren't on the Mets or don't really have anything to do with the Mets.
Well, that's the biggest thing. That's, like, the biggest barrier to me with things like OOTP or MLB The Show is, like, it's not as interesting to me to – the most interesting thing in fantasy to me was always, like, trying to figure out the guys that are good or who will improve based on the data we have, and that element really doesn't exist in either of those platforms. You're just kind of, like, you're at the mercy of the whatever probabilities are built into their game engine, right, as opposed to just looking at the real-world data and trying to figure it out. And the fact that you can't sit back and try to make those predictions and then be rewarded for it, it sucks.
Yeah.
I was all in on Garrett Hampson in pre-draft times this year, and now it's like, well, don't know if I'm right.
Yeah, well, hopefully we are seeing the light at the end of the tunnel, maybe. I personally don't think so, but there's starting to see some evidence, so maybe, you know, for once things will go good. Probably not, though. But what would you put the odds on that there is a 2020 season for the minor leagues?
I don't even know if there's going to be a major league season, to be honest.
I wouldn't put it the same, because I think there's definitely more, especially financially, more of an incentive to restart major league games, whereas I feel like there's definitely less of an incentive to restart all the minors, especially with all of the changes that Major League Baseball wanted to institute.
Honestly, they might use it to institute those changes.
Yeah. Oh, you know, that completely reminds me that if there is no season, that means that and baseball is able to basically push across that all those changes that they want to, that basically means that Kingsport and Binghamton are both basically just gonna disappear, and last year was the last year that they were in existence. What a not dignified ending for either team.
Right. Yeah.
What, would Brooklyn become double A at that point?
Yeah, that was what they were saying.
That was one of the proposals.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even hate that element of it. I think it'd be better if your upper minors teams are closer, but, like, why are we getting rid of teams at all?
Yeah.
And
at least Binghamton, they were set to host the double-A All-Star game. So if it was going to be their last season, at least they're kind of going out
with
swan song. Yeah. But now this is – it's the equivalent of, like, backing into the playoffs. Like, woohoo. Yeah. For, you know, only the exact converse, because this is a terrible, terrible thing.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. My take is, at least based on talking to my friends who are working on this and my reading of the data, honestly, I think they should just not have any season at any level. I love sports. I love baseball, but I just don't, we're not going to have a vaccine in time for, where by the time a vaccine is developed and tested adequately, we'd be way past any of the proposals for starting the season that we've seen so far. And honestly, in my mind, it's just not worth it.
Yeah, I mean, any proposal where you can't realistically start the season until let's say July or whatever. Like, what's the point at that point?
Right, right. Or with these wacky ass realignments or anything. So okay, so you're gonna risk, because let's be clear, there's still risk when they're with these and all the proposals they've mentioned, even if it's mitigated to some degree. But for a shitty half season with random divisions and a end result that no one's ever gonna count as super legitimate, why are we bothering?
It would be the Mets' luck to win.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I was thinking about this. It'd be like, okay, we won, but who cares?
The Mets win the 2020 World Series after a 30-game season.
Yeah.
Like, and no one counts it as legitimate. And
I don't think it would feel legitimate, even to the fan, to us Mets fans. I don't think it would feel that legitimate.
And the only reason why they won the last game is because the other team couldn't take the field because they all got sick.
The Mets won by forfeit.
The Mets are, like, built for a 30-game season. Like,
yeah, you're right.
They could absolutely go 25-5 and be the best team in the league because no one gets hurt because it's not.
Like, if any team can get hot for a really short amount of time, like, blisteringly hot, it's the New York Metropolitan.
I mean, less so now that you don't have Thor. But, yeah, if you have a 30-game season, just ride DeGrom, Stroman, and Syndergaard. For as hard as you can for 30 games.
Pete Alonso wins the home run title of 16.
I mean, that's roughly like a playoffs, right? Because you have the division series is 5, 12, 19. So it's a little longer. You can't do it as extreme as you do in the playoffs, but you can get to some approximation of that.
I think I could figure out how many dongs Pete would hit. So 6 ABs a game times 30 games, it's 180 divided by, he had a home run about 11
like
ABs.
15.
Yeah, 16 is almost exactly on the button.
But he'd be probably facing better pitchers more consistently.
That's true. Yeah.
Mm.
But they might also be so we could really go deep on this. But yeah, it just wouldn't feel good. It wouldn't feel good.
No.
I want the Mets to win the World Series in an actual fucking season.
Could you imagine the social distanced parade?
Jesus Christ.
It's like,
can you imagine, I don't know if you, do you guys remember those videos of McFadden's during 2015?
Oh yeah.
Do that with social distancing.
Woo! DeGrom gets a whole block to himself.
Not gonna lie, if they won, I would completely embrace it and be very happy with the fact that they are the champions. No asterisk whatsoever, but not happening, so.
Baseball is also in a really rough spot because it's very seasonal. Like football could get postponed and it's whatever because you could play in February and March and even in the spring if you really want to. And basketball and hockey are inside, so if the games get messed around, you could kind of work around it. But you can't play baseball in
It's almost November, like they December. Should build domes on every stadium.
Well yes.
No.
Precisely this.
No. How baseball's an outdoor sport.
But make them retractable.
Yeah.
Every stadium gets a retractable dome.
Is there a single retractable dome stadium that doesn't look like shit?
Okay.
They've gone all the time.
You're not right. And they close them anyway when it's like, it would get like 65 degrees and they're like, close the stadium, it's cold. But, yeah, like, you can't really play this game in December unless you do, like, a neutral site place in a warm weather.
We're going down to Miami.
Yeah, right? Like, it would just be too...
Yeah, there's, like, 4 or 5 of them that you could realistically do.
It would be, like, a circuit where, like, each team plays in, like, different cities for a few weeks or whatever.
I just think a big part of a good baseball stadium is the incorporating the kind of scenic vista in the background, and admittedly City Field isn't a great example of that.
If you go to the absolute top and you look out
right
far enough into the distance, City Field
is admittedly an industrial in the middle of a kind of a not a great spot.
You gotta really look for it.
right, but you think about parks like, I don't know, the Mile High or
Pittsburgh is beautiful.
Yeah, Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. Pittsburgh's right, but the best parks are the ones that incorporate the the view beyond the park. And I feel like once you start building dome stadiums, it's really hard to still have that view.
Hear me out. It's all glass.
So, like, there are stadiums that do it well, though. Like
Chase is nice.
I've always wanted to go to Safeco Field because it's perfectly – or not Safe. It's I believe it's T-Mobile Park now.
T-Mobile Park now, I guess.
But there's four or five different elements of that park that I just think are really, really cool. Like, it's always semi-open air even when the roof is closed.
I see what you're saying.
For everyone like that, though, there's, like, Miami.
Yeah, there's, like, four like where they don't give a crap, you know?
Miami is just awful.
Miami, they built specifically, like, who cares? Let's just build a stadium and...
Take this state
rob
money.
The taxpayers.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, well, do we have any other last words for the week?
Seamless sucks, and I hate it.
Hmm.
Okay.
Fair.
Seamless, don't talk for us. Don't do it.
Crap.
Did you have a bad experience, Lucas?
My food order yesterday was a bit of a disaster. I don't need to start ranting about this again.
I honestly don't come remember the last time I like ordered out. Like, I'm just been so focused on, you know, okay, got to save money, got to just do everything at home, and I really miss Chinese food. All right, if anyone has any questions, comments, you can send us an email at our email address from complextoqueens@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter, shoot us questions there. I'm at Steve Sipa. Lucas is at lvlahos343. Ken is at kenlevin91. And Thomas is at sadmetseasonszn. Subscribe to the podcast, please, wherever you get your podcast from. And then, of course, rate and review it. And thank you for listening. And we will be back next week. And until then, love the Mets. Love the Mets.
Are you troubled by strange hockey trades in the middle of the night?
Do you experience feelings of dread about NHL free agency?
Have you or your family ever seen a New York Islanders game?
If the answer is yes, then don't wait another minute. Pick up your mobile device and subscribe to Lighthouse Hockey Podcast from SB Nation today.
Our courteous and efficient hosts are ready to serve all of your Islander needs and worries.
Lighthouse Hockey Podcasts for New York Islanders fans.